It's time for the online edition of the longest-running local rock show on the Jersey Shore. This is 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. And here's your host, Tom Hanley.
Welcome to 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast. I'm Tom Hanley. Each week we bring you the latest music and interviews from the bands that make Jersey rock. But this week's show is going to be just a little bit different. It's the second annual Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween special. Over the next hour or so, we'll treat you to spooky tracks from local artists and ghostly tales from guests who had encounters with the supernatural. We'll talk with Scotty, the NJ Media, Kathy Kelly, the owner of Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park, and reporter Bob Macon about their experiences from the other side. But first, let's get off the show with a haunting track from The Ones You Forgot. You can catch them at House of Independence in Asbury Park on November 20th. This is off their latest EP, Too Afraid to Say. Here's Everywhere, Everything. On 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special.
Check out our song, Bury Me Alive, from Awaken Deluxe on 95.9, The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special.
Thank you.
Adventures on Halloween night. 95.9 The Rats Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. That's off their self-titled album. Check it out now at thecarousersnj.bandcamp.com. Joining us in studio is Scotty, the NJ Medium. Dude, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, we had you on last year's Jersey Rock Halloween podcast, and you shared a bunch of really cool stories. And since then, you've been pretty busy. Tell us what you've been up to.
I've been doing a couple different things. I've been lucky enough to be on television one time, and I'm working on a project with Brian O'Halloran from Clerks fame, and that is getting ready to get edited and put out there, so I'm looking forward to that. And then I've been doing a ton of paranormal investigating, as usual, and, you know, my usual thing, back and forth, doing readings for private clients. Clients and stuff. Always busy.
Yeah, totally. And that show you're talking about with Brian O'Halloran, Local Spirits. Tell us about that.
So Local Spirits is this really neat concept that a couple of my buddies came up with. It's a comedian, and a real estate agent. They were hanging out, having a couple drinks, and they were like, hey, let's get Scott together and let's go to a couple bars and let's see if there's paranormal activity happening. And let's interview the patrons and the owners and, like, you know, see what's going on in these old style pubs and stuff like that, right? And they pitched that to another friend of theirs who was Brian O'Halloran, and he immediately asked us to be a part of it, which was mind-blowing to me because I'm just, you know, Scott from New Jersey, so that was really cool. So, yeah, it's basically it. It's just going to be a cool concept. I think that you could sit with your family, and it's a little bit spooky and a lot funny, so it's going to be something you can gather around the couch and watch with your family. It's going
to
be cool.
Definitely something to look forward to. I know you already have a couple of, like, little short videos up online, right?
That's right. Yep. You can find anything if anybody's interested in getting to know me. You can find me on ScottyTheNJMedium.com. You can use that name on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere that there's social media, except for maybe Foursquare, you could find me.
Now, last year, we spent a lot of time talking about how long you've been a medium and how you've had this gift since pretty much forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's go over that again for anyone who didn't hear last year's show. How long have you had this?
I've been able to do this since I was probably about 3 years old. It's probably when I first started forming memories and people telling me about the things that I was doing as a child. And for anybody listening that might have a child that has, like, an imaginary friend, but some things are very accurate to stuff that a child shouldn't know, just be open to that, because I got shut down a lot as a child. I would, you know, scare people and say things that bother people, not in a spooky way, but again, speaking to things that I shouldn't have known at my age. So I've been able to do that, and I'm 38 now, so 35 years I've been able to do this. And just in the last, like, 5 or 6 years, it's gotten very sharp and very accurate, to the point where I could sit down with somebody and ask for anybody who's deceased to come forward and speak with me so I could, you know, pass messages.
If a parent has a kid and they're seeing things or saying things, what advice would you give to that parent?
The best advice I say is exactly what I do for my own two children, is listen to what they have to say, write it down for them, and then investigate a little bit yourself. So if your son or daughter is experiencing something in your home and they're talking about somebody and giving you specific details and times, like if you put little Timmy to bed at 9 o'clock every night and by 9:30 he's running out every night saying there's somebody in the room, maybe stay in there with him and validate that, you know, there's a temperature change in the room or it feels a little bit different once that time comes. And then when they give you descriptions, like I said, just write it down. And as an adult, we have access to Google, Google any names they give you along with the address that you live at. And even within, like, a radius of where you live, see if there were any unexplained people, you know, dying or murders or anything tragic like that, because you'd be very surprised how far a spirit will travel to talk to somebody. So your kid might be picking up on it and you're just saying, no, that's not real, don't worry about it, and they're getting scared out of their mind. So
you might be the right person to ask about this then. If it's late at night and the cat is in the corner of the kitchen and it's all dark and the cat's talking to something, People who are cat owners have experienced this. What's going on there?
I think that animals, especially cats and dogs, are very in tune. There's been some studies done where we think that animals can see things that we cannot. So especially, I'm going to use this very lightly, quote unquote, spirit energy. They notice things definitely that we can't. So if there's something happening there, what I would do is, if it's always the same corner or the same area of the house, maybe go and pick up a $40 EMF meter from Amazon and put it up in the corner to see if you get any readings off of something. And then if it is something that seems like you can get an intelligent response through mechanical or electronic through the device, then maybe call somebody in to see if there is actually someone there.
So last year you gave us a bunch of really cool stories. Do you have anything new or interesting that you want to share with us?
Yes, 100%. So I will just preface this by saying I am an active paranormal investigator. I really try to debunk things as much as possible. Even though I'm telling you I'm a medium, I still go into spaces saying, like, what's the rational explanation before we get into the paranormal supernatural stuff, okay? I went to Buffalo, New York. Actually, it's probably about a year ago now, to do a TV show called Paranormal 911, which was really neat. And if you guys want to check it out, episode 10, season 1, I'm the first story on there. I'm in this hotel, and the first night I'm there was really uncomfortable. I was very anxious, and I personally just chalked it up to the fact that I was going to go sit in front of a professional film crew, which I had never done before. So I was like, okay, I'm probably just a little nervous from that. But the whole night was very uncomfortable. The next night in the hotel room, after we had filmed, I was sitting there and I had to catch my flight in the morning. So I was being very relaxed. I put on Netflix. I'm hanging out, all by myself. And I still have this really uncomfortable, anxious feeling in the room. So much so that I turned the light on in my room. And I was like, I'm an adult. Why am I feeling this way, right? I'm watching TV. And you know those coat hangers that they put up in the hotel room that you can't pull down? Well, I'm watching television. It's probably about 7:30 at night right now. And they get rocked. Like somebody just smacked them. And I look over and they're all swinging wildly. And that kind of freaked me out because that shouldn't have happened. The air condition wasn't on. The room's stagnant. I couldn't figure it out. So I went down to the bar and I had myself a little mixed drink. And then I was like, okay, now I'm good. I'm going to go back to bed. So I go back upstairs and I lay down and I fall asleep. At about 2:30 a.m., the clock radio blares like level 10 and woke me up. And I was really taken back because I didn't set it, and I certainly wouldn't have set it for 2:30 in the morning. We all have cell phones. That's how I set my alarms, right? So this thing just scared the daylights out of me. So I shut it off, and I look around the room, and I still have that really weird, heavy, anxious feeling. So I put the TV back on low, and I go back to sleep. And then about a half hour later, I get really hot, like really hot, and I wake up, and I feel like I'm not going to be able to move off the bed, and just my eyes open, and on the bed next to me, I'm watching all these weird, wavy, staticky lines over the bed next to me, and it looked like I was staring into a fish tank. It was the strangest thing, and I got my hands up to my face, and I rubbed my eyes, and I looked, and I was like, oh, this is not happening. This is like a real paranormal thing happening, right? But I was so exhausted, I was just like, go away, right? And I went back to sleep. The next morning, I'm down in the breakfast area with a bunch of other people, and I tell them what a bad night of sleep I had. And about three other people hear me talking and they come over, and they all on the fifth floor of this hotel, everybody was telling me that they had a bad night of sleep. Weird things were happening. And then somebody who worked there for many years came over and told us that legitimately, like, they thought the fifth floor was haunted, but nobody would talk about it. So it was a real Ghostbuster situation. It was crazy.
That's cool. It's always, especially when you find, you know, things that can, you know, corroborate the story from other people, and
right.
And you go, oh crap, that's really cool. If somebody wants to find out more about you, check out your stuff, or to contact you for the many services you provide. In fact, let's go over that right now. What services as a medium do you provide?
Okay, so I first and foremost, I'm a paranormal investigator. That's my favorite thing to do. If you have something going on in your home and you feel like you need help, I'm definitely the right guy to contact. And I'll tell you this, if I don't know what's going on, I have a whole network of people that I'm involved with that I can call to ask for help. And I always do if I don't know what's going on. So I'm not the end of the line. Then I do private in-home readings, which is stuff like you see on TV, like the Long Island Medium, those kind of things, that kind of interaction. I do group events. So if anybody has like a group party that they want to do, I definitely do those. Tarot card readings, speaking to your past deceased loved ones and relatives, and pretty much anything along the lines of paranormal and psychic work. And you can find me on Facebook. That's probably the best place to find me.
Just search Scotty the NJ Medium.
Yep, it'll come right up. I'm right there. And then if you want to check out, I have a blog where you can read about what I do. And if you have any inkling of psychic ability yourself, I have a bunch of free advice on there. That's at scottythenjmedium.com. And then, like I said, across all the platforms, just type that in. I'll pop right up.
And if someone were to happen to ask you if you were a god, what is the proper response?
Yes.
Scotty, the NJ Medium. Keep an eye out for his new show, Local Spirits. Check him out on Facebook and all social media. Scotty, the NJ Medium. Scotty, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's been a blast. I hope we do this again every year.
I think this is the start of a great tradition.
I think so. Thanks, everybody who's listening. I appreciate it. Check me out. I appreciate you all listening. Thanks.
Right now, let's rock a track that was inspired by The Sixth Sense. It's off Dennis' Night Swimming album. Dennis is currently on tour with Brick and Mortar, and that tour rocks the Asbury Lanes on November 2nd. If you see dead people, you'll totally dig this tune. Here's Dennis with Upset Words on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Check out this track from Ruby Bones. It's off their debut EP. They're in action at the Pet Shop in Jersey City on November 9th. Here's Heart of Darkness.
You got it. down, y'all. This is Dave Incognito from Incognito Theory. Don't miss us live at Dingbats on Halloween. Check out our brand new song off of our brand new CD. This is the title track. This is Whiskey Fueled on 95.9, The Rats, Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Get you some. See ya.
Theory with Whiskey Fueled on 95.9 The Rats Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Now, if you're looking for something to do on Halloween, Incognito Theory is rocking a special Halloween show at Dingbats in Clifton that night with American Grimm, Infinis Mortis, and Salem Mansions. Admission is $13, and if you wear a costume, you'll win some cool prizes. Again, that's this Halloween, Thursday night. More info at incognitotheory.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Joining us in studio is Kathy Kelly, owner and operator of Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park. It's not only a great bookstore, it's also a museum, and they give ghost tours of the city by the sea. Kathy, thanks for stopping in.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Now, I've been walking past your bookstore and museum for years,
mm-hmm.
and I hate to admit that I've actually never been in it. It's always in the post-midnight hours. But how long have you been there for?
I've been there for 12 years.
And how did you get the story going? What brought it about?
I actually had left my former career just because I'd kind of done everything that I could do in it. And paranormal had always been a passion of mine. And when I kind of floundered around for about a year, a friend of mine said, whatever you're going to do with yourself, you got to do something with the paranormal. And I said, well, what is that? And she was like, I don't know, but you better figure it out. And I was just kind of hanging out in Asbury Park, and I was looking around, and the buildings were empty. It was very different than it is now. And I thought, you know, there's a space for people who are interested in this subject matter, and I bet I could build something really cool for them. And Asbury Park just seemed like the perfect place to do it, because back then, nobody was paying the slightest bit of attention to what we were doing there. And so it gave me an opportunity to try something, I think, completely different. And the shop just ended up being, I think it's like a mainstay in the community now. And it certainly is, you know, it certainly has become kind of like a home for a lot of people.
When I think of the resurgence of Asbury Park, your store is one of the first things that comes to mind, because back, you know, a decade ago, when things were first starting to really churn up, that was, you know, there wasn't that much going
right.
on. And your store is one of the first things that people were talking about.
Right. Right. And I think the reason was that we were a unique store. We were kind of like what people were hoping Asbury Park was, which was eclectic and funky and different and outside. And we were all of those things, but we were just one of a bunch of shops at the time that was kind of like that. I think the reason why the store kind of stuck around was I wasn't really dogmatic about what it was. So when people came in and said, oh, I thought it was going to be like this, if it made sense and I thought their idea was good, I did it. You know what I mean? But I think the thing that really kind of kept us pertinent and important and kind of solidified our place was the fact that we did the walk-in tours. And we told Asbury Park's story, you know, four nights a week for, at this point, you know, for 12 years, 30,000 people have taken our tours. And I think that is kind of what solidified our position as, like, you know, one of the tent poles in the resurgence of Asbury Park.
If someone would like to go on one of those tours, how do they do so?
They can just stop by. We do them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Or they can go on the web and get tickets at www.paranormalbooksnj.com. We do the outdoor walking tours all the way through November, and if the weather's good, until December. And then we also have the Paranormal Museum, which we do tours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and a couple of nights during the week for people who you know, don't have weekends off. And those we do all year long.
If somebody happens to pop into your bookstore during the day when it's open, mm-hmm. unlike me, what can they find in there?
So we're a bookstore. We have 4,000 titles. We have tarot cards. We have ghost hunting equipment. We look very much kind of like a traditional Victorian library. If they come one of the days and they want to do a tour of the museum, we have a 1,200 square foot museum that has about 250 artifacts in it. I think a lot of people come to the shop just because of how it does look. I think if you're interested in this subject matter, you walk in and you instantly know where you are. I had a little girl walk in a few years ago, and she walked in. She was probably about 7 years old, and she walked in with her father, and she said, oh, I understand what this place is. And he said, what do you mean? And she said, I get what this place is. This is where Halloween lives the rest of the year. And I thought, that's a perfect description of who we are.
That's great. That is, like, I can't think of a better description, actually. And Halloween's coming up. You mentioned something before in our pre-interview about the veil being thin.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So traditionally, Halloween and there are times in the year when if we think of life as being divided by this world and the next world, traditionally, the end of the summer season and into the fall is kind of the dying of the earth. And there's a space between our lives and the next world. And there is a, we call it a veil. You could call it a wall or a doorway or anything like that. But as you get closer into the winter, it thins out. And it becomes traditionally, and this is through most Western European and Eastern European traditions, it becomes much more likely to be able to communicate with those on the other side, good and bad. And Halloween is considered to be the time when the veil is the thinnest. There's also right into May Day, which is in May, kind of like a little Halloween. The days are shorter, the nights are longer, the world is darker. And I think we're a little bit more open to the idea of spirits roaming the earth. And I think that's another reason why the veil is thin.
What time exactly is you know, Halloween's this week? What time exactly would be the spookiest, thinnest veil time you could find?
Honestly, there are a lot of people who will say 3 o'clock in the morning, and traditionally, even in literature, that's considered the darkest time of night. But the truth of the matter is that the veil is essentially thinnest from midday on October 31st to midnight on October 31st. So there's a 12-hour period, and that might be a little bit, you know, on the nose, but it's literally Halloween day. Where the veil is the thinnest, because the next day kind of starts the calendar again. And there's lots of different traditions where at the stroke of midnight, the spirits have to go back, or I guess it depends on where you live. Halloween, the way we think of it, comes from a Celtic background. But, you know, you're kind of in the wheelhouse the whole week of Halloween, but the thinnest would be 12 noon to 12 midnight.
And I imagine that's a good time for supernatural activity. Word is you've got some paranormal activity going on at your store.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been open for 12 years. I would consider myself actually fairly skeptical. I sit much more comfortably on the skeptical side of the bench. But I have a lot of artifacts that have been donated to me from people who fundamentally and profoundly believe them to be haunted. And I housed these artifacts in one building for about 10 years until I purchased a building that had a reputation for being haunted and moved my museum into it. And I will tell you that in the 2 years that we have been in this building, we've had far more activity than we had in the 10 previous years. And so that leads me to believe that there's something actually related to the building that's causing that. That being said, the items themselves seem to sometimes have activity around them. We're really lucky because we have a lot of people who go through the museum now. We keep it to small groups. There's never more than 8 people there at a given time. But they write to us and tell us the experiences that they've had. We've also been able to actually capture some of the sounds and the movements that they've experienced on our security cameras, which is, you know, a lot of people like to see that stuff, and those things are available on our website. But I will tell you, I'm never afraid to be in the building, but there are certainly times when I feel like maybe the building would like me to leave, and I usually respect that and I leave. And that's usually sometime after midnight. I like to say it's the building's time, you know, and it's time for me to leave and let the building do what the building's going to do.
And speaking of that, what are your hours?
So we are open Wednesday, Thursday, 12 to 6. We're open Fridays, 3 to 8, and sometimes to 9, depending on whether people are coming through. Saturdays, 12 to 8. Sundays, 12 to 6. We're also always available. People can call up and schedule a time to be there if they're not able to be there during our hours. We do open up for private events and things like that, too.
Speaking of that, you have some events coming up. Tell us about this.
So we have our tours that we do regularly. We also have something called Mischief at the Museum, which is Mischief Night, which would be October 30th. It's one of my favorite things. It's a candlelight tour and investigation of the artifacts in the museum. It's also a little bit more grown up because we do have some refreshments, you know, that people can partake of. It's really a little bit more of kind of like a grown up way of exploring the paranormal on a really cool night, you know, in the calendar. We do seances once a month. We have lectures. We have a bunch of lectures coming up. I actually just got back from Transylvania, so I'll be doing a lecture in November as well on my trip. But you know, there's really always something going on.
How was Transylvania?
It was really cool. It was. I will say this about Transylvania. Once people figure out what it actually is, it is going to get crowded really, really fast, because it is a pristine countryside with beautiful historical medieval villages, and it is incredibly affordable. So you go out there, it's got 5-star everything. The people speak English. It's wonderful. The history's right there. I went to literally, I think, every place that Dracula, you know, had a shot. And I'm not going to say it was cheap, but it was reasonable. But it was so beautiful and welcoming. I was very surprised by it. I don't know what I expected, but it was truly beautiful. I will say they despise Dracula and they love Vlad Tepes, which I thought was really interesting.
And what's the best way for someone to find out more about the Paranormal Bookstore?
We're on social media pretty much every place. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Paranormal New Jersey. And on our website at www.paranormalbooksnj.com.
Kathy Kelly of the Paranormal Books and Curiosities, the Paranormal Museum in Asbury Park, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Right now, let's rock a track from a band that is no longer with us. They're still alive, but they broke up earlier this year. But even though they're no longer rocking together, they are still the perfect band for Halloween. Here's Lunatic Fringe with just a little more on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special.
Hey guys, this is Ralph Heiser from Baron Praxis. We play the Asbury Lanes November 7th. We are rocking on the Rat right now for the Halloween special. Check out our new track, Shishigami, on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast.
Take me to the river. Wanna watch the forest burn. Hold me down by the neck until my lungs collapse. Take me to the gutter. Watch the city burn. Hang me up by the wires till my eyes roll back. We'll be right back.
Metal Life Crisis, summoning some demon knights on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Check them out at facebook.com/MetalLifeCrisisNJ. And you can catch them in action at the Brighton Bar on December 14th. Joining us over the phone is reporter Bob Makin of Makin Waves and MyCentralJersey.com. Check out his column, The 13 Most Haunted Sites in Central Jersey. Bob is also organizing a special female-powered event in Asbury Park this November. It's called Tallyfest, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Tom.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, and we had you on last year's Jersey Rock Halloween podcast, and you've had so much experience and explored so much around the Garden State that I thought it was only fitting to have you back on here, and I'm looking forward to asking you about some spooky encounters you've had.
I sure had a lot of them.
I'm just going to throw it to you and tell me the most recent spooky thing that's happened to you.
Well, I guess the most recent one was one that I discovered, the ruins of the old Lambertville High School. There are three deaths associated with that site. It's been in ruins since 1955 and then burning down in 1984. According to local legend, one of the victims, 1935 New Hope High School football player, is said to have caused the other two deaths some 20 years later. The Buckeye football player's neck was broken in a game, and ever since, New Hope hasn't had a football team. Shortly after Lambertville High moved to South Hunterdon High School in 1955, a group of local teams were hanging out at their old school when one of them told the story of Buckeye Billy and how his neck was turned completely around from a tackle by a Lambertville player. At that point, the lads apparently channeled Buckeye to race across the field, but instead, with red eyes blazing at one end of the field, he demanded that they do the same. They apparently sprinted for their lives all the way home, but two of the boys were reported missing the next day, their bodies discovered at the high school, with their necks turned completely around.
Yeah, it's definitely a case for playing street hockey instead.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, have you done any of the Weird New Jersey exploration?
Well, that one I discovered from Weird New Jersey, and I've been on a lot of tours with Weird New Jersey. One of the ones I went to with Weird New Jersey was the Union Hotel in Flemington. You know, that's a 204-year-old historic site that's right now undergoing all kinds of redevelopment plans. But you know, the folks that are redeveloping it have even confirmed some of the things that I experienced. I felt a cold breeze shoot up my spine as I walked up the stairs with the guys from Weird New Jersey and hotel management, and then heard a door slam shut to a room that we discovered was empty except for that same chilly presence experienced on the stairs. And, over the years, employees of the hotel had reported ghost sightings, including a pair of shoes walking up those stairs by themselves, or hearing and seeing children in rooms despite the absence of guests. And, you know, that same feeling of an unseen presence that I felt, and so did Mark and Mark from Weird New Jersey. Some people think it might be the ghost of Bruno Hauptmann, that he's haunting the place. In 1935, he was convicted for the kidnapping and murder of the 20-month-old son of Charles Lindbergh and his wife, Anna. And, that was the crime of the century. And Hauptmann had proclaimed his innocence until he was electrocuted in 1936. So maybe it's him.
What advice do you have for anyone who wants to go out and explore places like this, whether it's the old high school or any haunted house in general?
Just realize that this stuff is for real. There's all kinds of cheap imitations where, folks are just trying to promote their downtown businesses, or maybe somebody's trying to make a little money. But if you read the the stuff that, that I read or Weird New Jersey writes, you know, that stuff's legit. That's stuff that we've actually experienced ourselves or, you know, have corroborated many times with, like, you know, lots of different people's experiences. So to, you know, use a good guide, you know, not just like, oh, it's Halloween time, let's have a ghost tour and we'll take your money, you know. So I did an article on the 13 most haunted sites in Central Jersey, which is my circulation area for mycentraljersey.com and the print outlets that I write for Gannett, which are the Home News Tribune and the Courier News. It's my full-time job, and, you know, making waves is a part-time job and for a different publisher. But that guide is legit. You know, every site in that guide, you know, is haunted. And there's a lot of things, like Weird New Jersey, this time of year, their Halloween issue's filled with stuff that people can go see. And it's all worth checking out. But, you know, some things that you see advertised, you take with a grain of salt.
And right now I want to do a quick little pivot because you're doing a special event, and we're going to be featuring it on the air this November. It's happening November 22nd to 24th in Asbury Park at Langosta Lounge, the Asbury Park Yacht Club, and over at the Saint. Tell us about Tally Fest.
Well, Tally Fest is a opportunity for the female and female-fronted acts in New Jersey to band together and do something really special with their music and at the same time support two very worthwhile causes, Food for Thought, which are the folks that feed the hungry and the homeless every Thanksgiving and Christmas at Langusta Lounge, and the Asbury Park Women's Convention, which hosts an event every Women's History Month in March that aims to empower women and defend their rights, which, you know, as we all can see, are quickly dwindling in this current political climate. I had done two hunger benefits the past two weekends before Thanksgiving, and that you very kindly sponsored them both. And the day after last year's, I had to go back to Langusta Lounge to pick up something. And as I was, and I walked out, and I saw this little sticker on the lamppost outside the restaurant, and it, you know, had a picture of Tally, who's Tilly's girlfriend. And Tilly, of course, is the Asbury Park icon. They sell coffee mugs with Tilly on them in Japan, but nobody's ever heard of Tally. In fact, I didn't even know that was her name. I just remember her from my childhood at the Palace. She was on the bumper cars, and she had her own little neon sign. I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't seen her in, like, you know, 50 years. And so the sticker just described that her name was Tally and that in Gaelic Tally meant princess. So I immediately walked back in the Langusta Lounge, immediately hatched the idea for an all-female festival dedicated to her, pitched the idea to Marilyn and Pete there at Langusta and Asbury Park Yacht Club. And they loved it, and, you know, for like nearly a year, I've been working on this thing. And about 6 months ago, Brittany Dixon came on board from Brittany on Fire, and she's got a brand new band that she's going to debut at the festival, and she produced all the shows. There's two shows at the Saint on November 23rd and 24th, and she's the producer of those two shows. I'm doing two shows at Langusta Lounge and two shows at Asbury Park Yacht Club. So 22 female and female-fronted acts all together.
How could someone get tickets?
Well, the Langusta Lounge and the Asbury Park Yacht Club shows are free. The money for the charity, that charity is Food for Thought. The venues are going to make a donation to that. For the Saint, tickets are $10. They're at the door. There's no advance ticket. And, you know, we're not going to gouge anybody for buying them at the door. They're just $10. And, I mean, I think about something like 60 or 75% of the proceeds are going directly to Asbury Park Women's Foundation for that one.
What's the best way for someone to keep track of everything that you're doing?
You can find out Making Waves on Facebook, at Making Waves Column, or facebook.com/Making Waves Column. MyCentralJersey.com for all the Gannett stuff. And for Tallyfest, one of our co-sponsors, Black Tank Design, very kindly designed a website for us. So it's tallyfest.org. That's TALLIFEST.org.
Bob Macon of Making Waves. Check out his column, The 13 Most Haunted Sites in Central Jersey. The link's up on the Jersey Rock page, WRIT.com. Tallyfest, rocking Asbury Park, November 22nd to the 24th. Stay tuned for more on that on Jersey Rock. Bob, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Tom. Always great to talk to you.
Same here. All right, now let's rock a band that I know Bob is very familiar with. Here's Experiment 34 on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special.
Experiment 34 with 3 days in the chamber on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. That's off their Charismatic 2.0 EP. Check them out at experiment34.com. And we were just talking about Tallyfest with Bob Macon. Well, here's a band that's rocking that show at the Saint on November 23rd. Here's Roulette on 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special.
Oh, Will the Giant? This is Tony Chunda, and you're listening to Tom Hanley on 95.9, the Rats Jersey Rock Podcast.
Right now.
I belong. On 95.9 The Rat's Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. Catch them at Breastfest, a handful of fun. It's a breast cancer benefit featuring all female fronted acts at Dingbats in Clifton this Friday, November 1st. We'll be featuring that event on Jersey Rock on the air on 95.9 The Rat at 11:30 p.m. this week. We'll have Reality Suite on Tuesday night, Archangels on Wednesday, and New Day Dawn on Thursday. And we'll also have some Halloween surprises on October 30th and 31st. That does it for the second annual Jersey Rock Podcast Halloween Special. We look forward to doing this again next year. And, of course, your regularly scheduled podcast returns every Sunday at 6 p.m. over at WRHC.com. Subscribe to the Jersey Rock e-newsletter through Club Rat, and you can have it delivered straight to your email. Tune to Jersey Rock and 95.9 The Rat every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night at 11:30. See your Garden State talent rock the airwaves. And if you're in a New Jersey band and would like to be featured on the show, email me at JerseyRock@WRHC.com. I'm Tom Hanley. Thank you for downloading this podcast. We are Jersey Rock. 95.9 The Rat. Happy Halloween.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.